Welcome to the Business Shop Podcast, where our guests speak on meeting the challenges of entrepreneurship, as well as offer tips and advice on business, marketing, technology, and more. Whether you are a newbie or a seasoned professional, this episode is for you. I am your host, Audrey Wiggins. Let's chop it up. Hello, Chop Squad. Audrey Wiggins, your host. And as always, I'm excited to be with you and excited for my guests. Today, we're going to be entertained or at the feet of LaLisa Williams. She's an adjunct faculty member at Hudson Community College. And she is an author, a coach, and consultant. Her brand is, of course, Coach LaLisa. And she's coming to us today from the state of New Jersey. Welcome, LaLisa.
Well, thank you so much, Audrey. Thank you. And so glad to be here. And a wonderful welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. More about LaLisa. She helps her clients to solve lack of motivation, and she empowers them to persist through difficult circumstances. The confident, charismatic, and professional demeanor of LaLisa is no indication when she was actually a high school dropout. She was homeless and living on the streets, but a definitive and powerful vision is responsible for LaLisa's life becoming an awe-inspiring, epic account of tragedy to triumph. Supported by her faith in God, a selfless spirit, and a vision to release her inner power, she is on a mission to help the masses do the same. Williams has since earned an Associate of Arts in Business and Public Administration, a Bachelor's in Arts and Political Science, and a Master's of Business Administration. In 2005, she made another educational bold move to enroll in Capella University's PhD program. So she's on track to someday earn her doctoral degree. And I'm standing in agreement with you, Lisa, soon.
Oh, yes. Very soon.
Okay. Yes. Yes. And it all is to help, you know, other women achieve their goals. So more about LaLisa on the other side of this message.
Knock out your competition with All Together Marketing. We elevate your brand. Take a stance with your business name, logo, the tagline, your colors, even the fonts for your business. And then jab left with your website. Jab right with core values. Back up with product experience and bring it on with you. Visit alltogether.biz and let us help you create a knockout brand.
Welcome back, everyone. The astonishing revelation of Williams' success is triggering a media frenzy, and justifiably so. And that's how I caught back up with her. We haven't been in touch with her for a while. And then I read an account on LinkedIn. LaLisa is a solopreneur since 2002. Upon getting her MBA, she decided to start her own business in the field of training and coaching. The national coach, speaker, author, trainer is also a 10-time author. Oh, my goodness. I am so jealous. The rest of us have got to get our first one off, but congratulations on those 10 publications. That is awesome, Lisa. Yes, and this also includes her bestseller, Release Your Power, 8 Strategies for Becoming. I saw that book up there in front of you, Lisa. So you can see that book cover. And becoming who you really are. And she is the host of several radio and TV shows, including her most popular show, All About Entrepreneurs Talk Show. It is an internet-based show. All right. Williams speaks primarily to women, churches, prisons, and organizations where she shares her powerful story of triumph. Very important here. She lends more than encouraging words, though. She inspires all who she reaches. Welcome, LaLisa, soon to be Dr. Williams, to the Business Shop.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So glad to be here. So thankful to have an opportunity to share some insights, experiences, and even some of the challenging triumphs that I encountered on my journey to where I am today. So if it looks like, you know, listening to that bio, you would think, oh, wow, you know, you're doing this great things, or you've done these great things, or you've achieved this and that. But what you don't know is all of the various hurdles and challenges along the way to all those successes.
Yes, absolutely. And just before we get there, I want to share this fun fact with you. They're telling a little business here, but at the same time, it's fun that she learned how to ski at 65 years old. I mean, she looks like she's 55. So I don't know. Maybe this is a reversal in the numbers and it's just say 56 or something. I don't know. And she went to a resort for the first time.
Woo! That was... Yes. What was I thinking? Oh, I should have my head examined. Something is absolutely wrong with the cognitive level when you're going.
Oh my goodness! Did your knees like fold in or your ankles fold out?
For the first time, I mean, it's one thing to say you did it when you were a teenager or a young person, a very, very young youth, and then you'd go back and do it, you know, 20, 30 years later. But to have never done it. Oh, okay. So anyway, I guess I wanted to prove how brave I was.
Oh, okay. Okay. So did you go down a big slope? Was it cross country? What was it?
Okay. So the person who would ask a person that's never been before that question, they probably haven't been themselves. Okay then, because if you ever been skiing, you know.
No.
At any age, you're not going down that big slope. And I wouldn't care if you were 5 or 25. That's for TV.
Okay.
That's for the movies.
No, that's right. Well, that's always good to know, though, because we have to get out. We have to try things. And
that's what I said.
It helps to grow. It helps to grow us for sure. Yeah, but there's one other thing I don't want this to get lost on us either, because you teach the courses at Hudson Community College. What courses do you teach there?
Yeah, so I started teaching at Hudson County Community College, one of those colleges with the 3 C's.
Oh, you're right.
Hudson County Community College. So I started teaching there in 2014, and I teach their principles. I mainly teach principles of management, which is still considered like a first level type of management course, but it is different from, say, like your intro to business, which I've also taught that many times as well. Okay. Whereas the intro to business kind of takes you through all the aspects of, say, an organization, whether it's dealing with creating products and services, how you form your business and how you manage the business, how you structure the business, all of those pieces. What's the economy doing? What have you? Accounting, finance. Whereas the principles of management, you focus just solely on like this, what it takes to be a manager. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to deal with management? And so that's what, and I kind of like that because it gives you an opportunity to really delve deep, and you get a whole semester to really delve deep into the many aspects and layers of management, whether you're dealing with the entrepreneurial ventures of being a manager and management, or whether you're dealing with, say, setting goals for your team or your department or your whole organization, because we do cover all the levels of management. Mm-hmm. And we explain the differences between things like being a leader and being a manager and things like that.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So being a teacher, but you're also a coach. So, you know, so how does that, how do you transition into your coaching? You know, what areas of coaching do you offer clients?
So the areas of coaching that I offer, so life coaching, and in that aspect, I help people set goals for themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's how I help people get somewhat unstuck, because a lot of people, they get stuck, they get bored, or they get in a rut or a routine of doing something. And maybe they had some wonderful plans on things they wanted to see happening in their lives, but they get caught up in the routine, the mundane things of life, or the situations of life, or the crises of life, or whatever, or just their own transitions. Maybe they recently got married or a partner or, you know, children or taking care of family members. And so their ideas and their dreams go on a back burner, so to speak. And then when they're ready and it's time to move forward with it, they're a little rusty. Mm. And so it's just like what we do when we get a little rusty in something, we go, we may take a little training. So in that sense, the coach can come along and give you some activities, and I work with them through different activities, but it's mainly goal setting that we use. That I use anyway to help clients. So helping them, career coaching, and the same thing, people are stuck in their career. I didn't know I could do anything else. I'm not sure what else I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I don't like the people I work with, and I can't really seem to get ahead because people here are holding me back, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But we use some same thing, setting some goals. Goal setting is very powerful.
Okay. Yes.
To coaching people. We definitely use it together, right? So mm-hmm. what I was able to do, once I learned about coaching back in 2002, mm-hmm. so 22 years ago when I learned about coaching.
From
Capella University, when I was getting that doctorate, part of that program was a coaching course.
Mm.
So from there, I always just from that point on, I just began to align the two together.
Okay.
So once I learned what coaching was and how it can help people, I started using like bite-sized pieces of it with my students, almost without them even knowing it.
Okay.
So I'm kind of coaching them through the course.
Yeah.
Now, not everybody can do that because not everybody may understand the coaching skills.
Mm-hmm.
But once you understand the coaching skills, like I had done, take those courses, get those certifications, you can begin. And guess what? Look at now. All the colleges now have these academic coaches.
Yes.
It's all the rage now.
Yes, yes. Lalisa, what inspired your transition from being a high school dropout to living on the streets to becoming a successful entrepreneur, author, and coach?
You know, I think what happened for me, it was always there, right? Mm-hmm. We tell people know all their solutions are always there. The things
That's
you
right.
really want to do, they're always there. And they were just, sometimes they're so buried and covered with problems and life and just bad things happening to you, good things happening, whatever. And I just came to a point where I knew I could do better because I had, luckily for me, I had a parent. So that's why I'm really into, say, mentoring, and I allow people to call me, quote unquote, Mama Lalisa, because I had a mother, and I know that role she played for me. So even while I was flunking out of school, doing poorly, getting myself out there on the streets and trouble with different things, mm-hmm. I had a mother who had always told me, you're living beneath your privilege.
Okay.
You shouldn't be doing those things. You should be over here studying. You should be doing your schoolwork. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't do it though.
Yeah.
So she had six other children to worry about. She could not just drop everything she was doing and just focus on Lalisa. And she had a full-time job and a husband.
Two full-time jobs, the family and outside.
Exactly. So I just kind of fell to the wayside. And luckily, I didn't have any resentment for the fact that I wasn't able to adhere to her teachings. However, it was like a computer chip. They were being stored.
Yeah.
You know, like on your computer, you don't use something and it looks like it's asleep. And then you move your mouse and boom, it pops back up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was operating as a something that was asleep. Like I was sleepwalking, basically.
Yes.
But I also, that's another reason I do believe in the powerfulness of our words, because the words that she spoke over me, even though at the time it didn't seem like they were taking root or mm-hmm. taking hold, but they were. And so when I got to this point where I was like flat on my back with absolutely nothing, that's why I believe sometimes if you don't have nothing, you might be in the best place you've ever been.
Wow.
Because there's nothing but one way to go, and that's up.
Yeah.
But almost like that prodigal son story.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just lose everything, because my mother had a good job. We had decent things. You know, we weren't rich. We lived in the projects and things.
Mm-hmm.
But the power of her words, you can be this, you can do that, you know, and her sharing her own story about her successes. You know, my mother was a bright, she reminds me of a person like you. She was intelligent. She had a good job. She was a reader, you know. And so at least, so I had that role model, but I just wasn't taking advantage. But that's what inspired me. For me, that's what it was hitting rock bottom.
It's nothing like having that good foundation. Like you said, those plant those seeds and one day they take root. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you discuss your educational journey from earning that associate's and now pursuing that doctoral degree?
I do believe that education can come in different ways. It's like what we think about with leaders. We say, oh, are they born? Are they learned? And so we said that leaders, you could be born a leader, but you can also learn leadership skills. Well, I look at education that way. I used to think that you had to be born smart. Because I had siblings older than me and younger, and it would seem like they were naturally smart. That's what I thought. So my educational journey, I would say, started back from when I was, say, maybe like kindergarten, because that's when I had a sister who was 2 grades older. That's when I started noticing the differences that she's been told, oh, she can read. She's a great reader. Then I had one just 2 years behind me. By the time she came into the school system, it was, oh, she can read. She's smart. She's good. So I just assumed that that meant I wasn't.
Oh, wow.
So I think that internal cognitive ability was like kind of shut down. And I continued that in the background, like a subconscious thing, or maybe they call it, I think, like a stereotype threat, something like that, where you try to live up to the expectations that you think people have of you.
Yeah.
And so because I saw them praising them, I thought their expectations of me were nothing. So I tried to live up to that, and I did a good job of it. And so when I got, so my education, so I that's how I thought about education. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think it was great.
Why try?
I didn't know. I dropped out of school. That's why I stopped going. I stopped going way before I stopped going. I stopped going to school, I think, 8th grade.
Wow.
I would go in the building and would find a bathroom and hang out in the restrooms until school was over.
Okay.
And I did that from like the 8th grade, 9th, 10th, 11th. By the time I got to the 11th grade, I was just tired of doing that. And I just stopped going. And by that time, I'm like, you know, going on 17. So I'm, you know, grown-ish, you know, had a couple of little summer jobs. So I knew I could kind of make it. And this is back in the 70s. So, you know, there were still factory jobs and, you know, decent jobs you could get without diplomas and without degrees and things like that. We didn't have all these fancy resumes. So that's how it started. And I would have probably been okay with that. But then there was that root that had taken place inside. Yeah. Let me tell you, roots will not let you sleep. It's like the weeds
like
in your backyard.
Bothering me. Yeah, right.
They're going to bother you. It's going to bother you. Like them little weeds out there. Every time you look around, it's something else, you know. And that's what it was. So eventually, you know, that little nudge kept being there. And then I would say, luckily for me, my academic journey included moving to New Jersey. And then up here, I think is really what helped inspire me even more, because you're here, you got Newark, New Jersey, where you have like maybe 5 major colleges. Like most of all of Newark is like colleges, right?
Oh, wow.
You know, Essex County College, Rutgers University, right next door to NJIT, another major college. And then there's like a couple of other little smaller colleges around.
That's great.
Never mind the fact, 2 towns over, there's Montclair, another town over there, there's King. And so I feel like I was inundated with education. And I felt like I had to aspire to be like, you know, to do those things. And luckily I did that. So I enrolled. And I think also what happened for me was I enrolled in, and that's how my journey started, because that college I enrolled in was a community college.
Okay.
And the people there just loved on me so much. But it's probably something I had too. I'm sure I had a spark, right? I was slightly older than many of the other students, because by this time I'm in my 30s.
Wow.
Like 31, 32.
Okay.
Many of the other students were like, you know, younger.
Back then.
Nowadays, the average community college student is like 40 probably.
Oh,
average.
Wow.
Yeah. These days.
That's interesting.
Yeah. These days, a community college. We used to call it non-traditional student.
Right.
All of our students are non-traditional in a community college.
Okay.
But that's how it got started. In that community college, again, I was there, Essex County College, and it was some women and it was some men, but those women and those men that were in leadership positions, deans and VPs and all that, these were all people of color for the most part, 89%. And that's all I could see. It was so, I was blown away. I would just walk around the college looking into offices just to see if it would be another person, you know, what would be the race of the person in there? Because I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay.
It's a different perspective for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So that's what inspired me. And I felt like I had those women and they didn't say it, but I said it. I said to myself, if they can do it, so can I. And I do believe that that's the phrase that's the magic phrase that what happened was I went to school, I got that degree. And then every time I would take a course, I would learn something new that made me want to continue going to college. Hmm. Then when I was getting my associate degree, then I met this woman whose husband was a lawyer. He needed a secretary. I went to be his secretary. Now, of course, all kinds of inspiration there coming from it. This African-American male lawyer with all these lawyer friends.
Yes.
They all having law degrees and different things. And I was like, oh, I'm getting me a bachelor. I went and got a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
And while I was getting that degree, I was working on that degree and I ran for public office. And by this time, I'm close to 40. And I just said, let me just keep going. By that time, I went for my master's degree. And that's how the journey, that's how it is. And then, back up. Uh-huh. Then in 97, I got a job at the college. I wasn't expecting that. No, I was not expecting. No. There's nobody could have ever paid me to believe I would work at a college.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my first job. And then that is really what, at that point, when I got my first job, I did have at least my bachelor's degree.
Okay. And we were talking about your book here for a moment. So what are some of the key strategies and principles that you share in Release Your Power and the subtitle 8 strategies to becoming who you really are and your journey? You just laid yours out. You've become the person that you really are and still you're on your path to purpose. So speak to that, the strategies in your book.
That's it. I think you're absolutely right. These strategies. So then in 2004, I said, begin to put some of these. I began to look over my life to see what are some of the strategies. What are some of the things that I would say were strategies that took me from being homeless, being on the streets, being that high school dropout. So one of the strategies from the book deals with having that made up mind.
Mm.
So in other words, it's like if you want to be wishy-washy, it's probably going to be hard to get on a path and get to the end. But you got to have that mindset, that persistence, that, determination, that, keep on going no matter what. And another strategy in the book is choosing to change. I use change as a strategy.
Okay.
Because in 1998, I was at a conference in Houston with Continental Airlines. At the time, I was a staffing rep, part of the HR department. We were there for a conference. And then there was one of the speakers there, Dr. David Ulrich. He came and he talked about being these change agents.
Hmm.
And so what I had started doing in college, the things I was learning in my business degrees and what have you, I would always parlay them into my own personal life.
Okay.
So whatever they were teaching in the classroom, I was like, oh, let me use that in my personal life. So if they were teaching decision making, oh, let me do decision making. When I was learning algebra and problem solving, oh, let me problem solve in my life. When I was learning parabolas and how something can get so close to the line, but it doesn't touch the line, I'd be saying, oh, that's what it's like in life when you walk so close to something dangerous, but you don't go all the way in there. Those are the strategies that I try to share in the book so that people can look at their own life and say, hey, let me look at it and let me make an assessment. Maybe I don't need to change some things. Maybe everything's going right. Maybe I'm hitting a home run on my passions. Maybe I'm hitting another home run on my purpose. And I'm hitting another home run on the things that I feel I have the greatest potential to get done. Mm-hmm. Then, okay, and that's fine. Then don't change that. But what about all the other areas?
Yeah.
So kind of forcing people, like in using some coaching strategies, people to look at the other areas. So those are some of the strategies that I use with the book.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely assessment strategy. Again, another educational business strategy. In education, we do nothing, nothing. I mean, nothing. I can't even lay the pen down without assessing. Did I lay it down the right way?
Oh, my goodness. Yep, you're right. You're right.
What was the outcome? What was the learning outcome of learning to lay that pencil down?
I learned that I don't like assessments.
And nobody likes them, but they're the best thing. They're the best thing. Oh, okay. My goodness.
Okay.
Yeah. I wish I had been taught assessments in the kindergarten. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What?
That's critical thinking.
Critical, yeah. Just to look back, because it's not like assessment is a bad thing. You're just looking to see if you need to make any adjustments or do you need to keep doing what you're doing? Yes. But that's how I was able to be successful in those degrees. I looked back, I assessed, I looked back at what I had done to get there. And I says, I'll just keep doing that, studying, doing homework, registering for class, signing up for class, doing my paperwork, doing the FAFSA. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, definitely.
Assessment. So that's one of the strategies in the book is taking a self-assessment.
So how can we get in touch with you, Lalisa? And also, where can we find your book?
Yeah, so you can get in touch with me several ways. So I have a website. You can go to my website. It's simply my name and with coach in the beginning, coachlalisa.com, coachlalisa.com. I tried to make it as nice as simple. So if somebody can't remember my last name, you remember the first name, and most people know me as a coach. So they can get in touch with me that way. There they have many ways to get in touch with me, whether email, phone, and also through Facebook is one of the areas that I use groups on Facebook. So I do coaching groups, things like that. I have a 52-week empowerment journey to empower women to excel, empower students to excel. So I like for people to, come up to those higher levels. And then the other way is through LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. I've been involved with LinkedIn since somewhere around 2005 when it first came out.
And where can we get your book?
And the book, you can get it from my website, coachlalisa.com. You go to website on that first page, you'll see a link. They can get the book there. If you can't remember any of that, you could probably just Google me and your pages will come up.
Yeah,
because I'm like you. We've been doing this for a while now.
So we have a great digital footprint out there. Yes, sure.
Yeah. Sometimes too much of one, but yes.
Right, I know. Can we pull back some of that information? Absolutely. Yeah. So I'll definitely appreciate that. And so folks, definitely go to Lalisa's website. We'll also have that information in our show notes as well. So they'll be able to find it and make some clicks and get there. So, so Lisa,
and YouTube. Oh, yeah. And YouTube.
Oh, and YouTube. Oh, yeah.
Some
real nuggets. And see you and hear your voice. Yeah. As we close out, is there a nugget of wisdom you'd like to leave us with?
Oh, yes. I would like to let you know that where you are is the best place for you to be. Get started right where you are. And I would also say that start small. Do not try to eat the whole elephant at one time. Remember, bite size works just as well. You'll still get a chance to eat the entire elephant. That's my wisdom for people. Definitely the bite size. Start now. Start from where you are. Don't worry about what's already gone or don't worry about what might come, because as you get there, you'll be able to deal with it. And make sure that you put on your to-do list preparation. Eke out a little bit of time here and there to prepare for the thing that you want to achieve. So say, like, for instance, a person may want to write a book. Well, just start a little bit slowly, a little bit small. Don't worry about it. And, but that preparation, it goes a long way to success. It goes a long way.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Be great, everyone, and release your power.
Thank you for listening to The Business Chop. We hope that you were able to glean valuable information from our guest and that you will download and share this podcast. Your rating and review is much appreciated. To go deeper with our guests, please visit their website and social channels. To learn more about us, please visit businesschop.info or altogether.biz, where we will help you expand your brand.